any of this stuff, and how do you know? I mean, it's a you're talking about retroviruses. That's an incredibly intense subject to be researching. There's a lot involved in understanding it. So, understandably, people rely on folks like you. We rely on someone who has done the work and is a professor. And when we hear a guy like you saying that HIV doesn't cause AIDS, that's like, it's very confusing. There's, I'm sure your life is filled with controversy. I mean, what is an average day like for you as far as like hate mail? Do you get a lot of hate mail?
Well, I get a lot of mail, but hate is actually a minority.
Really?
There's a lot of guys saying, gee, I always suspected something is odd. Can you tell me? Can you explain me? What should I do? Should I take antiviral drugs? I feel horrible, and I give them answers, my answers.
Now,
and I tell them why I give these answers. It's not just...
No, for people who don't understand, your argument, I mean, in a paraphrasing sort of way, is that it's illicit drug use, it's like amyl nitrate and crystal meth, and that is what's destroying the immune systems of these people. And then HIV shows up because their immune system is diminished. Is that a fair assessment of it?
Yeah, diminished or not, it is just a chance that you might be positive or not. It's like with all microbes, you know, you can catch it or not. But of course, if you are what they used to be, they used to say at least the first line of AIDS patients, the gay guys, they had hundreds of, in the gay liberation days, hundreds of dates. And so that's like a microbe collection. If you contact or get in contact, intimate contact, whatever contact with lots of people, you pick up what's available on the market. You see, and that's, they were microbe collectors. So they had this microbe, but they had all others too. They had hepatitis B virus, and they had chlamydia, and they had
So HIV is a virus.
It's a virus. It's one of the most harmless type of viruses we know. That's why we only discovered them really well in the last 20, 30 years.
So how could it be possible that no one else believes this, that the scientific community sort of looks down on your assessment of this and what is your, what's the argument?
That is, I think, much politics behind it. You see, the virus hunters, as we used to be called or still called, those who are looking for viruses, doing something or another, their pride is to find something to get the viruses for, to do something terrible. If they do something bad, then they are important. You know what I mean? So if they're harmless, they're not so important. Saying, okay, you study your harmless viruses, tell me what else is happening. Yeah. So we tried that in the 60s and 50s. It was popular then, 70s, that viruses might cause cancer. You may have heard about this. Virus cancer program, virus cancer theory. And we tried very hard. This is why I came to this country from Germany. That was a hot item. I said, okay, we find that.
Well, as an example, a human papillomavirus can turn into cervical cancer, right? I mean, you can catch a virus of one type, the theory goes, and then if left unchecked, it grows into cervical cancer, as an example, right? Is that what you're talking about?
That's what they claim. But what it really does, it makes a wart. It's why it's called papillomavirus. Papilloma is another word for wart.
It's warts. So it's venereal warts.
And then they say, well, maybe 30 years later you get cancer. When they come in with a long latent period, you can already something.
Something's amiss. It doesn't add up.
viruses are not slow. They are not that complicated. They infect you now. All they want to do is replicate and reproduce their own. They don't wait 10 or 20 years for something to happen.
There was, wouldn't you admit, though, if you look, and I watched a lot of people die in the 80s and the 90s in New York, and a number of them were gay, but...
lots of them were gay. That was the first, but, and still is the major...
Sure, but here's what was interesting, is that most of them were dying from very similar symptoms. If you went there, in fact, the majority of AIDS, and you can correct me when I'm wrong here, but the majority of AIDS patients die of starvation. It's very difficult for them to hold food, to retain food. That was really, if we, when you went to the wards, and I did, you'd see all these AIDS patients, and they were terribly skinny. Mm-hmm. And actually what happened was, yes, the virus would destroy your immune system, mm-hmm. and you'd be exposed to, you'd get Kaposi sarcoma, which yeah. were the big, these rare yeah. skin cancers that only old people get, and all kinds of awful diseases. I mean, I watched people with these terrible rashes. They didn't know
what
they were.
You're not a doctor, are you?
I'm not a doctor at all. I'm just an actor, man. I don't know. I know nothing. I was just. Well, I've read a lot about it.
Yeah, no, because you said you went to watch. So
I've read a lot about it. And correct me, by the way, I'm a layman. No. You know, so I was going to get to a question. It's not a point of view. It's a question. But one of the things that there was clearly in their bloodstream when you get tested for what they'd call HIV, they're not seeing the virus. What you get tested for and what shows up on your test is antibodies
That's
to the virus, right?
A very important point.
Right.
You know, it's just as opposite as you could get of the virus.
Yes.
An antibody against it. That right. is neutralizing and stopping and killing it.
Exactly.
That is a vaccine. That is nature's and mankind's only protection against virus is a vaccine.
Exactly.
Made by yourself or induced by somebody else.
However, though, yes, the body mounts a defense with antibodies. Mm. What the theory, and I'll just add to this, what the theory was that what happens is it's such an onslaught on your immune system, the immune system eventually gives up and cannot produce enough antibodies, your immune system gets killed. Along comes David Ho. With you, and I know you know the name.
Dr. Ho.
That's yeah. right. And he came.
Man of the Year.
And Man of the Year, Times Man of the Year.
He was also Man of the Year once. But that was in the 30s.
He's pointing to a Nazi.
But having said that, doctor, there are a lot of people that took protease inhibitors, and I know them. Yeah. And by the way, when they were dying, they sold all their stuff because they were going to be gone in a month.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, protease inhibitors keep people alive. I mean, I've seen this. Mm-hmm. So the question becomes if protease inhibitors, which, by the way, now used to have to take, as you know, mm. a bunch of pills. Now it's down to 4 or 5 pills a day. Mm. There are a lot of people living with HIV that the argument goes, and I, at least from what I've seen, would have been dead and now are living very normal lives. Mm. How do you explain that?
Yeah, that's what they always imply. But look at the people who don't take these drugs. Mm. The World Health Organization and the Centers for Disease Control say there are 35 million of them, at least, on this planet. Mm. Probably even more. They say 30% of the Africans are positive. In America, we have 1 million. That million in American HIV positives was there in 85, is still here. Why didn't they die out?
Well, they did die, though. A lot of people died in the 80s.
Say we have still 1 million.
He means the number's the same.
Oh,
it hasn't risen.
Any million Americans, yes, there would be 30 years later, it wouldn't be the same million, but
right.
they would be replaced in part.
Well, isn't that because people were catching it more and more? I mean, in other words...
they had it already. In 85, when it was detected, was good measure, 1 million were positive. Now, still a million are positive. And of the 30 or 40 million who never get drugs, they live exactly like they did before. Take Africa. Africa, they said 30% are positive. And the continent would die out. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what happened? It was 400 or 500 million Africans in the 80s, end of the 80s, when they first detected it there. Guess how many we have now? Black Africans.
I don't know.
1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Still 1/3 of them are HIV positive. They almost tripled. That is the largest population explosion in the history, recorded history of mankind. Despite HIV in sort of, they should have all died away. That's what they still say in the New York Times or in the journals. They don't want to hear about it, that you say they're doubling and tripling. You see it if you look for population sets. It's not the same article. Occasionally, they make a little note.
So protease inhibitors do not work, or they are a fake drug? Or
what do they do that's positive that's helping these people improve their health condition?
I don't think anything.
Nothing?
No, possibly it gets them into a new lifestyle. I think you don't feel like having 10 dates or 5 dates when you're on protease inhibitors. Many of them show up and feel ill. So I don't know how it balances off.
But what about the notion?
But if you look at some of their pictures, now they admitted in the San Francisco Chronicle, it was, I have several references here, I should get them out and show them to you. They age very quickly. They have liver disease, they have heart disease, kidney disease.
A lot of side effects.
Oh, well,
very toxic side effects.
Side effects is a euphemism.
Yeah.
That's the only effect it has. HIV positive, no drugs, anything you want to do is fine.
But it, the we have to go back to it for a second. The fact remains that in the 80s and 90s, I knew a lot of people, a lot of gay men, who were dying, and I watched them die very specifically. They were dying with blue splotches. They were dying because they couldn't hold down the food. They were dying pneumonia, very slow.
Pneumonia,
a great deal of pneumonia. Yeah. I watched this. We all saw it. And what happened was all of us said, wait a minute. This is something crazy is going on here. Mm. You could see it. It was just droves of walking dead in New York. It was such a tragic thing. You don't see that anymore in the gay community. And all of them that I know are taking these drugs that seem to be wonder drugs because what they've done is kept people alive and healthy and muscular and vibrant. Mm. You just don't in the gay community. The AIDS, HIV is no longer a death sentence. In fact, HIV isn't even something they talk about as much. And so the fact remains that you don't have an epidemic of death in the gay community as you did in 85, 91, 92, you know, and until David Ho came along with protease inhibitors. Mm. So there's something happened there. Something had to have happened there. Mm-hmm. I mean, wouldn't you agree? I mean, you don't see people with Kaposi's sarcoma. Mm-hmm. Hospital wards are not full of people who can't hold food down and dying of pneumonia who are HIV positive, right? So how do we explain that?
Well, it was, at least according to the records that I found, and they write up yourself, Michael Callan, for example, you may know that name.
Sure. That's my dad's name, but it's a different Michael Callan.
He says 1,500 dates, and with two or three or four nights sometimes with nitride inhalants and amphetamines and cocaine and all of these drugs. Mm. Yeah, well, you can, if you burn the candle on so many ends, he was gone 5 or 10 years later. Mm. That's what gave them sick. Now, at least many of them know, or at least suspect, that nitride inhalants, the poppers, causing Kaposi and wearing them out, that is somewhat known. And
so poppers, poppers are what cause Kaposi sarcoma?
Very many, a number of studies have directly shown the correlation. It's a carcinogen.
Right.
It's a nitrite. It's an alkylating agent that goes through the blood and causes the. Essentially, it's a skin blood cancer.
Brian, were your friends drug users?
No, not all of them. I mean,
the ones who had AIDS.
No, a lot of them were just theater guys. In fact, a lot of them were theater guys who were just gay. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of examples of people who were not drug users. I mean, my God, there are a lot of children that died of AIDS because they got it from their parents or from blood transfusions.
Not at all. And very, very few.
Well, in the 80s, there were,
all of them were kids of junkie mothers who were prostitutes and junkies.
Maybe, but the fact of the matter is they weren't using drugs. I guess the blood was passed on to them, right? The virus was passed on.
The question of AZT. Mm-hmm. Now, AZT is what they gave them initially. That was what they gave them when they first started.
87.
Now, AZT, correct me if I'm wrong, was a cancer medication that was deemed to be too dangerous. Mm-hmm. They used it for chemotherapy, and they stopped using it because it was killing people. Than the cancer.
They still use it somewhat also for chemotherapy. It's not different from any other chemotherapy.
But it's a very, very brutal one.
They're all brutal.
They're all brutal.
They're designed to be brutal. They're designed to kill human cells.
Yeah, because it's a retrovirus, and a retrovirus copies.
Wait, human cells. Chemotherapy, cancer drugs are designed to kill human cells. Mm-hmm. And that's what they give them. They give them less and less, so they die.
Well, AZT
isn't the idea, though, behind killing human cells, especially new cells, the idea that because these are retroviruses defined as something that creates its own RNA that copies the DNA of the cell it's invading, right? So, in other words, it mimics, it creates a clone of itself, essentially. So when you
but
medicine...
all viruses do that.
Oh, okay. But isn't that what a retrovirus is? Isn't that how you would define a retrovirus?
Yeah, it makes an RNA, converts it to a DNA and back to RNA.
Exactly.
But... that's
so it creates almost a clone of itself. So when you create a medicine that kills the virus, you're also creating a medicine that's going to kill the actual cell.
By the way,
cell it's
how much does that resemble computer viruses? I mean, computer viruses and biological viruses. Yeah, yeah. At a certain point in time, you know, when you look at that, the fact that it copies the host.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that's like? That's an invasion of code.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Viruses are terrifying, man.
They're terrifying, but what we've learned a lot, it seems, from these different viruses and how they react. And correct me if I'm wrong. I know you don't probably believe in protease inhibitors, but...
Yeah, no, well, I believe that they work. But they do kill work. The liver and they screw up your metabolism.
I see.
They are not quite as toxic directly as ACT or the DNA chain terminators.
Okay.
But now all of the antiviral treatments are cocktails of DNA chain terminators and protease inhibitors.
Mm.
So you get it many ways.
So, doctor, if somebody had HIV...
And guess what the people who take those eventually die from? And it's not so rare. They die 10, 20 years later. Mm. The dose is so that they won't die immediately. Right. I think that would be bad even for the pharma companies.
Sure. But isn't that better than... Isn't dying 20 years later better than dying 6 months later as HIV did?
That would be better, but was not HIV. There are millions with HIV who have nothing. They're exploding in Africa, the population. There are 1 million Americans. They're still around. 500,000 Europeans, still around. No treatment. That's the only way to go ahead.
Americans that are HIV positive, I believe, are getting treatment here. I mean, the ones that I know. I know only three, but I know they're getting that. That's not a lot, but I do know three people are HIV positive. One is a woman in her 60s.
And they will be in that group. They will get, guess what they usually die from, these guys, long-term treatment.
Toxicity, probably, right?
Well, they die from pneumonia, from lung disease, kidney disease, and heart disease. Mm. And then they get dementia. They get a chemo brain. Mm. If you have these chain terminators working in your mitochondria, you become more and more senile very early. It is described now in the San Francisco Chronicle just a week ago. They have this AIDS Institute there. They, for the first time, let it show. Maybe it's the drugs, too.
There's no question that drugs are caused, but that was ignored
but now for a long time.
Yep, half of these AIDS patients, so-called HIV AIDS patients, or HIV patients, are dying from, although we have a huge list of so-called AIDS-defining diseases, 27. That's not enough. With those drugs, you cause heart disease, lung disease, pneumonia, kidney disease. That's what they die from. Over half of them are a death certificate now when they die.
But they used to die. They used to die from very quickly, and I saw it by the droves.
Yeah.
Look, the theater community in New York, for example.
There's a disconnect, right? There's something wrong. If they were dying by the droves, and all of a sudden they got on these protease inhibitors, and the whole community became healthy. So you're saying it was like a placebo effect for the entire community, or the whole community changed its approach to life? Is that what happened?
I think the truck use... The recreational drug use went down somewhat. I don't know where it's now, but it was word of mouth that this was probably part of the problem.
Mm.
I mean, Michael Callan, these guys write it themselves. They say this lifestyle is untenable.
It's unquestionable. Mm. I mean, there's no question that it is a part of the problem. Everybody who does like hardcore drugs like that, it fucks your body up.
Well, not only that, though. Hardcore drugs also create promiscuity. When you're doing meth, you're fucking, and you're a guy with other guys.
What are you doing?
Huh?
What's going on?
Nothing. I'm just saying.
Yeah, sex is nothing new. Sex is 3 billion years old. You can.
When you see, have you ever seen me have sex? It's new. It looks. I do. I've got a very high tech, very original approach to sex.
Yeah. It's like interpretive dance.
Because I subscribe to Onnit and I buy their sex swings.
And he drinks that chocolate shake and goes nuts.
Dude, I had that hemp protein.
It's awesome.
Oh my god, that chocolate.
It's the best.
I gotta say, it's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah.
That's really, really good.
It's chocolate. Shit, Texas son.
Chocolate. Yeah. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah. So what happened to these people? There's got to be an explanation. These people are sick. They take the protease inhibitors.
Yep.
They're healthy. They live. But you're saying protease inhibitors actually are toxic and very bad for the body.
And they take the cocktails usually.
Right.
Typically,
it's a cocktail.
Recipient takes two chain terminators and protease inhibitors.
Right. So how are they getting better?
They don't get better. Where's the evidence that they get better? Okay. They don't get worse as much as they did before, as fast as they did before. I don't know. They acknowledge that they never cured anybody with these drugs. Never any cure.
No. It's not cure. It's exactly like diabetes. You control the viral load. Mm-hmm. And what they do is that it used to be the viral load would be huge. Mm-hmm. And when you take the protease inhibitors, etc., the cocktail, it reduces the viral load to levels where your immune system does not have to work to get rid of it. It because what it does, it creates a Teflon sort of coating, mm-hmm. right, on the helper T cell, and the virus cannot latch on. Now, what happens, according to what I read in Scientific American, is the virus eventually starts to disguise itself, mm-hmm. and the cell no longer puts that Teflon coating on, and it can finally latch on. Mm-hmm. This is what I read. Mm-hmm. You have a different point of view, but
your name is Brian, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So, Brian.
Actor Brian, not doctor.
No, you record those tapes from the establishment very well.
Yes.
But the reality is, you said yourself, 10, 15 minutes ago, what you find in AIDS patients, even in those dying from it, is not the virus, only antibody against it. Mm. The virus load is a new term and a new invention of the establishment to make it sound horrible, what isn't horrible, what it can't even be found. It cannot be found. So what they use is the so-called polymerase chain reaction. Have you heard about that? Mm-hmm. Kerry Mullis is the inventor of it. Lives down here, not far from here. He also questions HIV/AIDS. Nobelist.
He also does acid.
Yeah. Yes. Kerry Mullis is not your mainstream average scientist.
Yeah, but I'd like to meet that dude.
He's a free. You can get him up here.
Is he closer? I would love to get him up here.
He's in Newport Beach somewhere.
How did you arrive at this conclusion? Mm-hmm. As a molecular biologist, somebody who deals with chemistry and how it reacts in the body, what was the turning point for you? You know, you have all this science, all these scientists saying one thing. You came along and said another, and continued to say another. Mm-hmm. You know, what was it? Where was the eureka moment for you?
Well, as soon as I saw the papers from Gallo published, I knew that was. That was politics, not science.
Well, Gallo was painted as a really nefarious character in a couple of things I've seen.
Pretty good. But, yeah. I mean, the evidence was already in there. All he found was antibodies, not virus.
Yeah, for you guys, Gallo was the scientist at NIH, correct me if I'm wrong, scientist at NIH who actually isolated what you would call the AIDS virus, the acquired immunity deficiency virus.
As they named it.
Yeah, syndrome, I guess, yeah.
So anyway, that virus was not to be found. He had a hell of a time finding it. You may remember the so-called scandal that he didn't find it.
Yeah, so he took credit for it when the French actually were the ones that isolated it.
So
yeah.
If you have a virus with a high load and killing people, all you need is pick a needle and you have the virus. Mm. Viruses can only hurt you if they are biochemically active, kill their cells and are there in large numbers. When they are latent and neutralized by antibody, no action. Nothing happens biochemically. That was my starting point. That is the situation after you neutralize a virus. If that were a cause of disease, all of us vaccinated to polio would limp around and have...
Well, no, because polio is a dead virus, right?
No, they're all the same. They're all dead until they get into a cell.
Right.
So dead neutralized viruses, we all have herpes, we all have measles, we have mumps, we have often hepatitis. Once it's over, it's over. Mm. Sometimes it comes back, but it's very rare. That's why we're all sitting around here. Otherwise, the microbes would have all killed us long a time ago.
Sure.
And here we see HIV. It was a new virus. We tried.
Well, that's almost the argument with HIV. What happened was, because we're always exposed to pathogens and different viruses, your immune system's always working to fight those things and does a very good job of it. Yeah. You get the immunity acquired deficiency syndrome. Mm-hmm. You get a virus that attacks directly the immune system. Now, that's why young men were getting very rare cancers that only old men get from the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. Why young men were getting pneumonia.
Kaposi.
Yeah. Why young men were getting pneumonia. Why young men were getting meningitis of the brain and all these weird diseases.
All of those young men who are getting it were doing dozens of drugs at once. You can even read the CDC's self-reported gay risk group analysis. They report dozens of drugs, dozens. Mm-hmm. And there is not one in any of these statistics that they published faithfully until 84. When the virus came, of course, we changed overnight. It was from Republican to Democrat, or Catholic to Protestant. No more mention it. There wasn't one in any of these statistics, not even one, who didn't do any drugs. They all were, and Michael Callan, all these guys who were in the business, or Lauritsen, or, of course, the publisher of the New York Native.
So what you're attributing the mortality rate,
AIDS.
No, you're attributing the mortality rate, the high mortality of death that for people who are HIV positive to actually the amount of drugs they do.
Yes.
And only. not the
only. And only.
Not
only.
Sex and not the virus. No. Sex and promiscuity and everything is possible.
How is it possible?
But it wasn't possible to have so many dates because we didn't have those drugs. Like in the Olympics, we break the records or in the bicycling with drugs. Mm. The same thing in the bedrooms. The drugs were not available 50 to 100 years ago. Now you can buy them on the street.
Viagra.
And you can work with amphetamine and with cocaine and heroin and Viagra and all combined. And,
you got a connection here, man?
You know what I'm getting out of this podcast?
That's
gay dudes like to party.
That's what I'm getting.
Yeah. That's
Let me, you're a doctor. If I have HIV.
That's better life from chemistry.
It really does make sense. That gay dudes would party that hard, though.
Yeah.
If you think about the fact there's no chicks down there, slow down the fun and get knocked
guys
out.
Guys are crazy, man.
It's just cocks
guys
and holes.
Guys are crazy, bro.
Cocks and holes and just blowing off as many times a day as you can and doing whatever drugs your friends have.
Well, they did do, you know, they did do a study on the average HIV-positive guy in the 80s, and he did have literally 150 partners like
a
month.
See, that's what I mean. That's,
yeah, man, well, think about, you know, when you were a young man, just one weekend in Vegas, what it would do for your body. Now, imagine if you lived on Santa Monica Boulevard and you were 36 and you were just doing meth every night and getting plowed.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, really.
Please don't say plowed.
It would devastate your fucking T-cells, son.
That, it definitely does.
God, I wish I was gay.
That does kill the T-cells.
It does.
Okay, now, okay, here's the big question, though, of course, obviously. Mm-hmm. How is it possible that every other scientist, not every other, there's a few others that believe in you, that question the things the way
Gary
you
Mullis
do.
Gary Mullis,
for one? Yes, Gary Mullis, for one.
I mean, believe. I mean, he independently, yes. He can see. He's
yes.
There's a few. And he can afford to be open. And
yes.
Honest. Many of them cannot.
Is that what the case is? It's just an unbelievably controversial opinion. You can't say it.
If look at me, I have no more graduate students. I never get a grant in 15, 20 years since I questioned HIV.
Really?
I had everything. I had the lab full of graduate students. I got every grant. I was a blue-eyed boy. I got California Scientist of the Year down here in Los Angeles and everything. I was literally the blue-eyed boy until I questioned HIV. All of these connections were gone.
Wow.
So
you are the example of someone who is punished for thinking outside of the box.
I'm a very good
But example. Let me ask you, do you have peer-reviewed research? Peer-reviewed primary research to support your theory, because you're dealing with a lot of research on the other side, and a lot of money was put into it by a number of independent organizations that looked at the data.
I was going to just show you that last paper, but anyway, I have it in the back here.
Because that isn't that the big question for a scientist? Yeah.
Sir, you want to go grab it?
Grab it.
Yeah, go grab it. Sure, bring it over. No big deal.
No, I mean, there are many, but I mean, this was the last one, and this was the most difficult to get published.
Yeah, because
the censorship is almost complete.
You know, they can't be healthy being a gay dude.
No,
just
dude.
Can't.
Oh, man.
Just thinking about what it's like to be a dude and think about no one there to stop the fun. And
God.
It just must be a
can you imagine?
All day.
Yeah.
Your body must be just trying to like find zinc, you know, and rebuild.
It's my buddy said to me. My buddy goes, I can go to 24-hour fitness right now, and I can see six gorgeous guys that I could bang in a and not even look in their face.
And they can make it happen
up.
Like that.
Sign. If you said you can go to Burke Williams, a bunch of girls there, you can just bang. I'd be like, for free? I'm married. I can't do that.
So yes, I mean, initially I published in the best of the journals. It was in Science, the first debate. Science, which is the most popular American journal.
Yes.
And then I published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences.
So we're trying to get that.
When I was still considered as part of the club. And then I became excommunicated. And then it becomes very difficult. Peer review means only the establishment prevails. That is censorship by the mainstream. They list everything in that is mainstream, but exclude everything that challenges their own investments and their own research.
But that's a little unfair to scientists who are really diligently working on trying to find a cure for a lot of diseases. I mean, there are a lot of, as you know, I'm sure, and you know them, there are a lot of scientists who are independent thinkers who want to make a difference, like yourself. And it seems to me that more of those voices would have made themselves heard in the, I guess it's now 25 years that the AIDS virus has been in the news at
business,
least.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, that's where I'm confused. And the other disconnect is
try one thing.
Yes.
Write even a letter to the Los Angeles Times or something. You read this and you're really concerned. Can you publish the letter now if you want to get a dialogue? You will not get anything published. Nothing. It's complete censorship.
Because they don't believe, because they believe the science has already been settled.
Well, in part. But the, there are several journalists who interviewed me in the past on this. They did it once, not again. Even good journalists. And they wrote one story, and then they were no longer invited to conferences. They called the Centers for Disease Control, or the Fauci at the NIAID. Institute for Allergy Infectious. No more answers. They were excluded.
There are a lot of gay people, I think, though, if they were sitting here, would have a very strong argument for you to say, listen, I was dying.
Yeah.
I was 85 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm now 170 pounds
right.
after right. I started taking
Right, but Brian, obviously his answer would be when they were taking the protease inhibitors, they also weren't doing meth.
Mm-hmm.
That's his answer.
In part, and one would have to see those cases. There are not so many happy faces around on this, on these drugs.
Right.
I doubt it.
No, they're toxic. They have nasty side effects. They cause you to carry lumps in
your
body.
It's not a side effect. That is the only effect you get.
Mm.
You're taking a poison.
How is it?
That's all it is.
Here's the question.
The side effect for what? They don't, most of them get it now when they have a low T cell level. They are asymptomatic. They have no disease. And then they start taking these drugs. And on average, 6 years later, they're dead. On average, that's the statistic. Well, you show you the guys like Magic Johnson, who is gaining weight all the time and says, I'm taking my medications. When you ask, or anybody asks what he takes, you never hear an answer. My medications. It's probably Viagra and vitamin C or whatever it is. But I don't know.
If somebody has HIV and comes to you and they say, I have HIV, am I going to die? You say what?
Don't take the first thing. Don't take antiviral drugs. That's AIDS by prescription. That's exactly what you get from these drugs. What AIDS is. You kill your T cells. You cause cancer. You kill your liver and your kidney, your heart, your brain. Fortunately, they become retarded and they don't notice it anymore. And then they smile in the camera. We are fine.
So, sir, here's the question: How many people? How many scientists are working on? How many scientists are working on curing HIV? How many scientists are working in the field on HIV and AIDS?
20,000, I would say.
20,000. Yeah. How do they not understand what you're saying, and how do they not see what you're saying? How is it not being discovered by all of them?
Let's stay with them.
Okay.
How do they not understand what they are saying? For 20 years, they're developing a vaccine. Where is the vaccine?
Well, it's a hard vaccine, though.
Is it hard? Yeah. Or is it not the vaccine that we need? It's vaccinating against something that doesn't cause AIDS. That's one answer, but they don't really hear that. Remember Edward Jenner? He's a British country doctor who invented vaccination in 1793, not in 1973, 1793. For £60 that he got from somewhere, he developed the pox vaccine. It's still called pox because vaca is the cow.
Mm-hmm.
It worked. He extracted it from the cow and successfully protected people against cow. And now we have the...
Was that Jonas Salk?
No. Oh, long, long before. That was Edward Jenner.
Okay.
We call it still Jennerian vaccination. In 1793.
Right. I think he saw the milkmaids, that they weren't getting smallpox.
That's exactly
the
story.
They were exposed to cowpox. And he said, maybe if I... And that's what happened.
And here we have the scientist, the most advanced and most sophisticated and by far the most expensive scientific establishment that has ever lived on this planet. The American scientists who get $10 to $20 billion a year to research AIDS.
Mm.
And they keep saying, oh, we need a vaccine. All we do is vaccine. Edward Jenner did it for £60 in one season, 200 years ago. Now they're messing around with it 25 years. What do they have? Niente. So nothing. They well, why could?
But viruses are all very different, right?
Well, they're not so different.
Smallpox being a...
No, they have, to, as you said, Salk and all others, we have against virtually all viruses, we have vaccines. And we have a perfect one against HIV. That's what the AIDS test measures. There's antibody, no virus. Exactly because it works so well. That's why Gallo, the nation's leading AIDS researcher, had to steal it from France because he couldn't get it out of people who had antibody against the virus. But they don't ask those basic questions. That's
What was the French discovery? Because Gallo stole the French people's research and took credit for it.
Yeah.
What were the French scientists were say that they were the ones who actually isolated the HIV virus? Yeah. Right.
You would have never heard of them without Gallo and the U.S. propaganda behind it. They said it could be every virologist said. Oh, my virus could cause cancer. Oh, publish me. I'm famous and I get money and I'm promising something horrible if you don't fund me. So that's what they all did. And Gallo was one of the most successful ones. He was just at the right time when the AIDS epidemic came up. I have the virus. Vaccines coming soon. And drugs will be coming soon. Here I am. Well, his colleague in France got the Nobel Prize, but he didn't because... They caught him.
So is that how it works? Like he invents, he starts working on some sort of a cure, and then funds roll in. He starts up a business of working to develop a vaccine.
You get grants. Yeah. When you work
how
at
much,
NIH.
How much money is involved in something like that?
Oh, that's millions and millions.
Yeah.
It's an annual budget over $10 billion.
You have a team of people working.
Over $10 billion for AIDS alone. It's almost as much as for cancer.
Okay. So
because the gay voice
spread
is strong.
It's spread out.
What you're saying is it's an industry, and there's no way to stop this industry. With the truth that these people are not willing to look at the truth because there's a massive amount of money that's being spent perpetrating a lie. That's what you're saying?
When the journalist or any scientist really speaks up and threatens their income, they say immediately, Kerry Mulley's junkie, crazy guy, Disberg,
right.
Nazi, what have you, mass murderer. And so they have immediately this kind of propaganda.
But we did have an epidemic. I mean, we did have an AIDS epidemic. I remember
I think he's saying that it coincides with drug epidemic.
But people are still doing
you remember
drugs.
The crack epidemic, man? You remember that this very distinct thing that happened when crack was introduced? We've had epidemics.
Yeah, but the whole use, the large-scale use of recreational drugs wasn't known in America until after Vietnam. Then they came back somewhat more open to the rest of the world as before, known, familiarized with drugs from Vietnam, and disillusioned by, quote, losing the war, whatever it was. And then all of a sudden, the drug epidemic picked up. The Beatles did it, the Yellow Submarine did it, everybody liked it.
But let me...
Hold on.
Yeah, and that was... That was the price for it. It was coming in the 70s and in the 80s, and all of a sudden we have AIDS. It's all drug related. If it were a sexually transmitted disease, we have 4.5 million heterosexually produced babies in this country.
Dr. Duesberg, if you can, just try to talk into the microphone.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. There's lots of heterosexual sex. What does the virus have against girls
I'll tell you. I'll tell you, actually. Yeah. There's an answer.
What?
In Africa, it was a heterosexual disease.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States and Europe, it never happened. Now, if you there's a lecture about it, and but they couldn't figure it out. What was it? Was there a secondary infection? Was it poor health care? Mm-hmm. Why in the world were straight men in Africa getting it by the droves? And the cases for straight men in the United States are vanishing unless you're talking about gay men and intravenous drug users.
Yeah, okay? That's what I'm saying.
That's right. Here's what they found.
It correlates exactly with drugs, not with sex and not with virus.
Well, here's what I read, and maybe you can help me with this.
Mm-hmm.
What Juan Enriquez, who is a venture capitalist who invests in different kinds of medical technology and deals with all this stuff, he said what they found was there was a genetic variation in all people of Northern European extraction who had survived the Black Plague. That particular genetic variation makes you very resistant to the HIV virus. The only way a straight man gets HIV is if it's pushed into his bloodstream with a needle or through anal sex or something like that, or blood transfusion. Having regular vaginal sex with a woman, and in fact, even gay men who are doing the actual sex as opposed to getting it, were the ones that survived the epidemic. So there is no question however, in Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa, they did not go through the bubonic plagues that we did in Europe, they did not develop that variation in their genes, and that's why they that variation is missing in their genetic structure. That's why they get AIDS. And that was the argument.
Any genetic explanation like that is ad hoc or suspicious. Mm. How come the genes are different between homosexuals and heterosexuals? That is not caliber. Mm.
Yeah.
They would have different genes.
But they're having different sex, though.
Dr. Duesberg, I'm
sex,
sorry to keep reminding you.
On truck cells.
Could you talk into the microphone?
Okay.
People really want to hear you.
Yeah.
They're complaining online.
Yeah. So any of the genetic arguments, right, I said, is very suspicious that in a population the homosexuals would have genes that are different from the heterosexuals.
I think that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that there's certain people that got it through heterosexual means.
Yeah.
Like they didn't have this genetic variation. It doesn't mean that.
But they
like,
don't. In America, there is no, and in Europe, and nowhere in the whole planet even, is no heterosexual AIDS epidemic. They predicted it and warned and scared everybody. Mm-hmm. It's going to spread in the heterosexuals. All of a sudden, even mainstream conservative, Republican, whatever there is, were interested. Even John Wayne talked to Ronald Reagan about it. Mm-hmm. We have to do something, otherwise our kids go to college. They can come home with AIDS.
Yes.
And nothing ever happened. And they are as sexiest or promiscuous as they used to be. They produce
probably
four to five
more those dirty bitches.
Yes, they
produce 4 to 5 million babies a year, and none of them get AIDS.
No, but that wasn't altogether what I was saying. One of the explanation for mainstream science would be the reason gay men get AIDS is because there's something called high-risk, low-risk behavior. When you have unprotected anal sex with another man, you are those capillaries, there are micro tears, and the semen that carries the virus can actually push it into the bloodstream. That would be why anal sex is more... But
wait a minute. So from... Nowadays, since you get porno movies on, you can get it on your laptop.
Yeah.
The girls...
Maybe you can.
You can get AIDS on your laptop?
Come on. This is a serious discussion.
It is very serious. But you see the girls getting anal code.
Yeah, those girls get
violated.
Just
as much as the boys.
That's true.
And some of them make a profession out of it. Some of these say the porn stars.
It's a tough call.
That's what I call my favorite kind of girls.
And porn star is a profession in
itself. It's a tough way to make a living.
And you're saying they don't get AIDS, right?
Respect.
None. No, nowhere. That's another prediction of the NIH that failed. All the prostitutes will be the first ones.
Did you hear what just got passed? Did you hear the new laws that just got passed?
Measure B.
Did it get passed?
Yeah. Last I heard it.
Yeah.
No.
I believe it
No more sex. No more sex.
Yeah, yes. No more porn. We're all going to Colorado.
Porn is going to have to start doing it in Nevada.
What
they're doing is they're saying you have to wear condoms, dental dams
that
during
passed.
Oral. Men and women meant dental dams so during oral
you know what's
sex.
Even worse is that there's even something in there that says that if you're a husband and wife and you just want to broadcast sex on a webcam.
You have to wear a condom in your own house.
No, you have to have a permit that costs like $8,000, like a lot of money.
Oh,
and
dirty bitches. They did it.
Yep.
Who did it? The population did it. It's not the government. We voted that in. That's shame on us.
They also voted that genetically modified foods thing in. Didn't that get voted in?
I'm a fan of that person.
What is it? They don't have to be labeled?
Yeah, I'm a fan of genetically modified foods.
Why are you a fan of them not being labeled?
Yeah, that's crazy. How did that pass?
Silly.
That is the dumbest. You know what
they
said?
You should have to label everything. Yeah. You should always be
transparency.
Yeah.
And it costs no more money.
It's a money thing. It's a Monsanto thing.
Yep.
They're buying it out. Those sons of bitches. So, Dr. Duesberg, how many people like on a when you have these conversations and you talk
like
about this connection? how many people think you're crazy?
Yeah, I'm not so sure that so many are so sure that I'm crazy. They just don't want to.
It's just too hot a topic.
They don't want to face it. If you, my colleagues, my former friends, Jay Levy or Harold Varmus, or Fauci was not a friend, but Gallo, we were close friends. We met several times a year at conferences and drank and had booths and what have you. Well, they cannot talk about it with me. They realize they have no good answers. They would have long published it. I would be finished. I would not just be excommunicated politically and not get students. They would prove me wrong in writing in a scientific paper. That would be the end of my talking. Say, look, you're disproved. There it is.
Right.
You can't answer it. But they can't. That's the trouble. That's why it goes on and on. They have no answers why they can't make a vaccine. They have no answers why the girls and the heterosexuals don't get it. They have no answers why they can't find the virus and you're dying from it. That is a complete paradox in biology, in chemistry, in fact, in science. How can you get a fatal consequence from a non-detectable cause? That is absolutely illogical.
Isn't that cancer, though, sir?
Cancer? My God, you look at this cancer cell, you'll see a lot. That's what I'm doing now. You have 60, 70 chromosomes in there where there should be 46.
Mm.
There is a big cause.
Okay.
There you can see they make protein and RNA. It's a different
species. What is it? Can you talk a little bit about cancer since you work on it?
I want to stick to this HIV.
I wanted to say you. So they see, and then more than that, hardly any scientist, once they have a name in a field, are as naive or romantic as I was, and say, okay, we have to go the other way. This doesn't add up. They have made their career. They have their professor. They get their merit increases. They consult companies or own companies, and they have to tell their postdocs and students and their companies, sorry, we're on the wrong path. We have started all over. That and hardly anybody is able to make that. Their wives would beat them up, or their kids would say, where's the money? They lose their, would lose their jobs, or their investments, they piss away their investments.
If this is true, how is it that you're the only one who's talking about this?
Yeah, not the only one, but I'm as a friend, good friend of mine, a publisher from New York, Harvey Bialy, a scientist also. Harvey Bialy, he was editor of Nature Biotechnology. He wrote this book about me, How to Unbutter Your Own Bread.
How to Unbutter Your Own Bread. Wow, how mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he meant it well. He explained it, how it happened, just for being, quote, an ethical scientist, to say what the science tells me.
Have you debated any other scientists about this subject?
Yeah, I have a couple of times, in the beginning, even in the journal Science. Uh-huh. There's a debate between me and Gallo, Plattner, and Temin.
Mm-hmm.
They call it the policy forum. My part was called HIV is not causing AIDS. And then we could answer to each other once around. Then they wrote one more editorial about it, and then they don't want to write about it anymore.
So that's the only time you've ever sat down with another scientist and had a formal debate about
this? It's not the only time. There were several other occasions, yeah. But, yeah.
What do they say? What is their response, and what's wrong with their response? Like, what is their response to your arguments that it's all drug-related and then something we can only detect it in the form of an antibody and saying that that's what's killing you is ridiculous? It doesn't...
Well, they say Duisberg doesn't know indirect mechanisms and indirect causes and cofactors. And once I'm gone, they don't mention the cofactors anymore.
Cofactors like drugs?
Yeah, well, even drugs.
Lifestyle choice, lack of sleep.
Yeah.
But, doctor, there are a lot of doctors who are like medical doctors that you go to when you have HIV and you take your drugs, mm-hmm. and they're in the trenches. They've been there a long time, and mm-hmm. they are involved in prescribing you a certain amount of medication to keep, quote-unquote, your viral load to a manageable level.
Mm-hmm.
These are people in the trenches that watched people die and are now keeping people alive with those drugs. So I'm just curious as to all those doctors that are doing that, Africa, in Europe, and in the United States, in East Asia, et cetera. And I know there's a lot of money there, but they are doing that work. It seems to me that if it wasn't working, if they hadn't seen direct results, and I'm talking about non-drug users, if they hadn't seen direct results, say in Africa, with heterosexual men when they were dying and now they are dying, it seems to me a lot of people would say, hey guys, people are still dying at the same rate or whatever, regardless of lifestyle change. People stick to their lifestyle for the most part.
Okay. Right? Now in America, it's a minimal amount of AIDS cases, like 30,000, 40,000 a year. And guess who they are? Two-thirds are male homosexuals and a third are junkies.
Mm.
And that is because of a virus. It's a small, it's not by the troves, as you say. It's a very small population. It's always the same risk groups, and they get these drugs. So if you are a real scientist, rather than a doctor prescribing pills and doing what all other doctors do, and following what they call standard of care, if you violate and say, I don't prescribe anything, they come and sue you sometimes.
Right.
So anyway, so they prescribe. But what you need to prove that these drugs are doing even these things, in animals or in humans, you need to run a controlled study, a truly controlled study. You have to have, let's say here, identify 100 HIV-positive men, gay or heterosexual, whatever they are, and I have another 100 matched, same age, same lifestyle, maybe soldiers of the U.S. Army, they have that too, and they are not treated. And then we'll see who is doing better. Then you find out. But when you use three trucks and this truck and that truck and a counter truck and drop them and don't comply and throw them down the toilet, all of these stories are very well known, you can only guess. And they say, okay, my truck works. It costs $1,000 a month, very good business. It's lasting 3 or 4 or 5 years until they're dead. That's what the truck companies love.
Well, a little longer than that. I mean, people are living
on average about 5 years. Oh, but they don't tell you that.
Protease inhibitors?
On trucks.
I know people are living now.
They always know somebody like Magic Johnson. He's gaining weight in 20
but
years.
But I saw a lot of people die in 6 months and 7 months in the 80s and 90s. I've never seen that.
Well, even now they do, but only when they faithfully take those drugs. But they often say they do and then they don't.
The microphone.
So it's in order to prove what you're saying and what they tell you, all drugs work. They love to sell those drugs. It's real good business. $1,000 a month, that's what, and for the rest of your life, that's exactly what drug companies love best. It's like chemotherapy. It's also $1,000 a month, except it doesn't usually last that long. But what you need in order to prove it works, and they have a hell of a time with in cancer, they have never done it with AIDS. They did it once in 87, and the results were very devastating. The people on AZT, 10-20% of them were dying while they're treating them, and they could
AZT wasn't effective.
Well, they said that's what they admit now, but for years they just, you are denialist. That's one of the words they use.
Well, I remember with AZT, it was always like you took it and you just hoped that it kept you alive a little longer.
AZT is poison.
Yeah. I know,
well, then they give these compensatory treatments. Blood transfusions, many of them, because their bone marrow was gone from AZT. I live a little, look really good. And then 2 years later, they're gone. Everything takes a while to develop. But ask your doctor, show me a trial, a scientific study, where you have 100 treated and 100 untreated, and show me that the treated ones live longer, even one day longer. I would like to see one.
I think there's a lot of evidence to that, but I don't have
none.
It on me.
There is none. There's no such study except the early one with ACT, which you already pushed aside a little bit because you heard it so often. Oh, yeah, first of all, we have much improved ACT now. Well, ACT is still terminating DNA synthesis. You use less now because you don't want to die during the trial as they did first.
So, you're explaining it as if it's like a conspiracy. Like they are aware of it and they're poisoning them less to keep them around longer, but they know they're selling them poison.
I don't know whether they're all totally aware of it. How is it?
Well, someone has to be aware of it to consciously lower the dose to keep people alive longer, right?
Yeah, I don't know how conscious. You hear it from all sides, you believe it, you know? I think... there were a lot of good soldiers in Stalingrad. They could have said, look, let's stop this war and we go home. So it takes a while to change your mind. They took 1945 and another 10 million.
So you think that all these scientists are aware of this issue? That all these people who are working in the HIV/AIDS field are in denial? Or do you think...
In denial, I don't like to use these words. I mean, they're not that clear-headed that they would be in denial. They have heard it so many times. HIV is so terrible, even ACT, a drug designed to kill human cells, is a picnic compared to what HIV would do with you. But then you ask them, what about the 30% of Africans who are said to be HIV positive, or 40 or whatever, high percentage, why aren't they dying? Well, it's a different strain, comes the story. They had plague for 500 years ago, and whatever, Vespucci drove by and brought something, or what have you.
Might tell you that they are dying, and now they're not because of the drugs. That's what they would tell you, right?
They don't have that many drugs in Africa. Not even Bill Gates and Boris Welcome could have treated so many people and make them triplicate. They are now from 450 to 1.2 billion. That's pretty good for a virus. Why aren't they?
In other words, South Africa's population is growing.
Exploding. Growing is actually putting it very mildly. From 450 to over a billion.
The only other explanation is they're making super AIDS and they're going to bring it over here.
Yeah.
And it doesn't
it's
kill.
It's zombies, right?
It doesn't kill them.
It's actually
it kills
not
us.
A different strain they found. It's all resident
it's evil. A super AIDS.
They use the same test kit.
Stop your
for
dirty
anything.
Lies. Yeah. It's a super AIDS that's going to kill us, but not them.
Right.
And the Africans take over.
Is
the world.
There a similarity to you between the what your research with cancer and with AIDS?
Yeah, sure. It is. It came from the same starting point. When I mentioned briefly when I first came, the hot thing in cancer research was to find cancer viruses.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it came. You're trying to find a virus. And the retroviruses were the top of the, what do you say?
Sure. Cancer was a retrovirus. Yeah. I remember reading that.
Yeah, the retrovirus was the most popular. And that's where I came in studying that, because it wasn't killing cells. Unlike most viruses, like polio and so, and flu, and measles and mumps.
It kills a cell. These replicate cells.
They kill the cells and replicate in a dying cell and then kill more. But retroviruses have a strategy. They essentially move into it like your in-laws would move into your house.
Mm-hmm.
And they stay part of the cell and essentially attacks it a little
from
bit.
From the inside.
But very little. They're so
like they're mooches.
Yeah, so mooching
bastards.
But, moochy cells.
But the trouble is they don't...
Joe, seriously.
Yeah, they don't do much. And then they're neutralized by antibody and you cannot even find them anymore. When you look hard enough, like with the methods we use now, viral load and all this bullshit work, expressions for finding a needle in a haystack, they don't do anything in any cells. And they're ubiquitous. You find them in cows, you find them in dogs, you find them in... blacks, you find them in whites, you find them in monkeys.
What kills you with cancer then?
Well, cancer is a very serious different business. There you have one cell, one, not thousands or millions infected, one that changes its chromosome. That is possibly a result of a carcinogen or some accident. And normally we have 46, all of our cells 46. And then they behave well, the programs work well and the controls work well. In 3 billion years of tuning up of life, that worked pretty well. Now you change one around and make a new species. And it screws up all of these controls. It's a very different cell. A typical breast or colon or lung cancer has 60, 70, 80 chromosomes in it instead of 46. All controls are off. All.
Do you believe in chemotherapy?
Yeah. Yes. But... There you have side effects. That's a good word for side effects. It attacks the cancer, but for sure it attacks you too, because there's no chemotherapy that can tell the DNA of a species or from a cancer cell that just came out of your own DNA.
Can't distinguish.
Cannot distinguish. So the only edge you have in chemotherapy is that the cancer is relentlessly growing. And in adults, many of your cells are not growing or it's just staying at equilibrium. You don't grow anymore.
You don't grow? What?
Grow, I'm sorry, my German. Oh, my accent. Grow, gaining in size.
Grow.
Yeah, oh, grow.
Replicate, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what the chemotherapy works on replicating cells. And the little edge we have is your heart, your brain, your lungs even, they don't grow. In adults, they replace things here and then, but they don't. The blood, the skin, the guts, they grow every day like crazy. And that's where you see the effects of chemotherapy first. They become immune deficient, they lose hair, they lose weight, exactly as the guys you described when they take AZT and these drugs. They cannot keep their food anymore because the intestines are screwed up.
What are your thoughts on the new age ideas of like keeping the body alkaline to avoid cancer? Is that bullshit?
Doubt it will work.
Really? You don't believe in diet
should diet is a place.
Foods
a big,
rich
big,
in antioxidants, vegetables.
That's good stuff.
Right.
No, I mean.
But it doesn't, keeping the body alkaline, that doesn't really
if
work.
If you follow all the rules that my grandmother gave me, come home early and sleep well and eat good diet, then you're doing all you can do to avoid cancer
Do you eat meat and stuff? And
yeah. But I eat less than I used to.
Yeah, not, you don't need as much.
Not I don't know why. Maybe that's sort of
is it terrifying knowing as much?
Yeah.
Knowing as much as you know about viruses, is it terrifying? Like being a person, like thinking about your body constantly at war with all these different invading armies that are trying to kill it. That's what these viruses are, essentially.
Yeah. But we have emerged out of an ocean of microbes and viruses. That's why we are here, because we have an immune system that is totally equipped to
go to war.
To keep them down for roughly 100 years, 80, 100 years.
Mm-hmm. And shit starts falling apart.
Who dies from an infectious disease? It's in this society, it's hardly anything. The last serious infectious disease epidemic was flu in 1918. Right. At a time when we didn't have vaccines yet, we didn't know DNA and RNA and proteins yet, we didn't even know diets yet.
Right.
Vaccines have been the most amazing invention. Yeah. They keep
now,
us alive.
After World War II, where isn't any, a little bit polio. Polio had a little, that day
eliminated. You're right, though. People used to die of diphtheria, mumps, whooping cough, pertussis. We died of the measles. In fact, one of the things that is always underlooked when you read history is that most people you read about in history, including presidents, kings, peasants, nobility, all lost at least one child.
Yeah.
That was a huge part of the character of our ancestors, our very recent ancestors. They had all lost at least one child. And if you have children, you know how epic and how tragic that would be and how unthinkable it would be. All most of our presidents are, you know, the people that were the elite, the most, the wealthiest of, even it touched everyone. It touched everyone. and that's something that we are very lucky to not have to live through for most of us. We have answers.
Yeah.
We have answers for those pathogens, answers for those viruses, answers for
and
those
for
epidemics.
The immune system. We know biochemistry. They didn't have biochemistry. They didn't know what it takes to maintain an optimal immune system. Even if you eat so-called junk food now, in Burger King, you have a salad leaf there with some vitamin
That's
C
right.
between
That's
and
right.
tomato slice. It may not be the...
But we didn't know what caused scurvy, did we?
No.
It was a vitamin C deficiency.
See, Queen Victoria had a lot of booze and schnapps and ate some pork roast, but it didn't have a banana for half a year.
That's right. That's right.
So that was why the mortality and the susceptibility to infectious diseases was much higher in the old days.
That makes sense.
And you didn't have any antibiotics, of course, and you didn't have any
anesthesia,
none of these things. Yeah.
We've made great inroads, and you give a lot of credence as we talk. Yeah. It's very interesting to hear you talk because you give a great deal of credit to a lot of mainstream science. Mm-hmm. Where you deviate is in one area, which is this, like listening to you speak about the effective nature of chemotherapy on a virus on cancer, for example. Where you veer off is very specific, and that is in the question of does HIV cause AIDS? So I listen to you, and you're so lucid, and you're so scientific.
He's trying to say you're crazy without being...
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is that what's interesting to me is that you clearly are a scientist who has immersed himself in the traditional notion of peer-reviewed study, of double-blind study.
So does this change the way you look at this argument?
For me,
not yet.
probably not, because I'm not a scientist. I don't have somebody on the other side here sitting here. I don't know anything. I've just read stuff. Yeah. What do I know? I don't even know what he's talking about. I can parrot articles.
I can go by my own experience
where I did with my own eyes see young men die a lot by the droves. I saw them die, and then I saw them get better.
But how many of those young men were not doing drugs? How many of them?
I don't know.
If you had a guess, any of them?
A lot of the men that I knew who died, who were dancers and who were
actors,
were not necessarily drug addicts, but they partied.
They partied a lot.
Yeah. When even those drug addicts, the gay community still does a lot of drugs. They do a lot of meth. They do a lot of blow. Yeah. They do a lot of stuff. There's no question. You can ask anybody. But the fact of the matter is, even with that drug use, if you go to the Abbey, if you go to these places in West Hollywood, they're not dying by the droves the way they were in the 80s and 90s. That's where I have a disconnect. That's where I have trouble buying your theory, because it's my own. Now, you have to be careful, by the way, deducing from your own experience, and I know that, because
you're going to have to start start doing more gay research.
That's right. My experience is very limited. It's very limited.
Some leather pants.
Let's go hunting.
But that strikes me as where you're getting a lot of a lot of resistance, because you are clearly a mainstream scientist in a lot of ways. You just happen to have this theory on, and it's interesting to me. It's very interesting to me that you are. It's just interesting. I don't know enough.
I think you see me. Correctly see through me. Hmm. My arguments are completely conservative arguments. Hmm. They say, oh, he's the lunatic and crazy guy. I'm presenting them with 100 years of science. Hmm. Their rules, or our rules, if you like. I say, show me one microbe or one virus that causes a fatal disease when it's neutralized by antibody and you don't see it making DNA and RNA and protein. Hmm. That doesn't work. You know, there is no effect in biology or in chemistry without a cause.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure this is going to be a very controversial podcast. We're going to get people far smarter than us that are going to want to disagree with you. Would you be willing to come back again and have another scientist in here and talk about it and have a little debate?
Yeah.
All right,
sure.
You dirty bitches in the scientific community, a challenge has been raised.
It's been raised, man. I'm.
They won't rush here, I can tell you that, Joe.
Brian was very excited to come here because he was like, this guy can't be right, and he gets very passionate about his ideas. But he's befuddled right now. You've got him befuddled.
I am befuddled. I'm befuddled because you're smart. You give so much credit to mainstream science. You give so much credit to medicines that actually, you're talking about viruses, your vaccines, you're talking about chemotherapy.
We were both secretly hoping you'd be more obviously crazy.
Yeah. That's right. And by the way, you're very likable.
I can wear the uniform.
Yes.
You'd wear the... keep it together. That's even worse for your career than the AIDS thing. You just made the Nazi salute.
No, he actually gave it to him. He flipped it off.
Yeah,
like Peter Sellers.
Yeah. Super bad for your career.
I'm still going to stick to my guns. And
what?
And
how could you do that in the face of knowledge?
I'm still going to say that I believe that HIV causes AIDS.
You know what I believe? I believe I'm too stupid to understand this argument.
Well, that's
too unread. Too.
I'm going to go with the vast majority.
Joe, you know what I just thought of? When he first got here, we were talking about castles in Germany. I want to go to Germany and see the castles and stuff like that. And then I just noticed that the Nazis holding a white castle t-shirt.
You just worked that in because we weren't talking about castles in Germany.
No, I was talking to the doctor earlier.
Neuschwanstein.
Trying to work it in. He planted it. It's a seed. Just so he can mention white castle. That's his new thing.
That's it.
Silly fuck.
That's it.
How dare you?
Do you ever come to stand-up comedy? Do you ever watch any stand-up, Doctor?
I have very, very rarely, but I love it.
There are not a lot of stand-ups that come out of Germany. They're fairly linear people.
Yeah, they make good cars, though.
Yeah.
You guys make the shit out of some cars.
Yeah, we'll invite you to a show.
Well, they had some. The Lach und Schieß Gesellschaft, if you know from Germany, they were very good. They were in Munich and in Berlin.
They wouldn't eat it on stage here. Yeah. Bring that bitch to the Comedy Store. Watch him eat dicks.
Right. You ever hear Chris D'Elia? You ever hear Chris D'Elia do his German guy where he talks about how
I've never
scary.
Seen Chris D'Elia do comedy.
Oh. Talks about how scary, like, when a German guy threatens you, it's like, you know, what are you going to do, bro? You're going to hit me? He's, I have already poisoned you, my friend. He does this whole amazing thing where they just show up and calm, you're already done, calm. I have already, I would threaten you, but I have already poisoned you, my friend. And the guy just dies.
Yeah, how did the Germans get to be such calculating, not want to say emotionless, but controlled people? How'd that happen?
The most disciplined people in the world.
Yeah.
Are they?
Not always. Without question. If you look at that war, there are lots of
undisciplined. Yeah, they fucked up with that war. How'd that shit get away from them?
And the theory goes, doesn't it? The theory goes that the Germans were a very, very civilized people and a very suppressive, they're very oppressive, oppressed. Suppressed manners, protocol, behavior, delineation of authority is very important, and all that keeping all of your animal in check was when chaos struck, it just went. They went crazy,
And that was why it was so possible to manipulate them that way.
That's why it's dangerous to control people. United States government. Yeah. Stop trying to control people. You're creating Nazis.
Germany was a great... The notion of a totalitarian regime, the totalitarian meaning control over the total person, not only their body, but their mind. Mm. That was a fascist Nazi notion, wasn't it? That was an idea behind that.
And they're the ones who invented crystal meth. by the way. Give that shit to their soldiers and then go nutty.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they use it on the. That's how the kamikazes. They talked them into slamming their fucking planes into boats and shit.
Yeah,
they were methed out of their head.
All these soldiers in Russia.
I don't think so.
Oh yeah, look
I
it
would,
up, son.
I would disagree with
You've
you.
You've been wrong earlier. I bet you're wrong now too.
Excuse me, sir. I've never been wrong.
He shut you down, dude. About cancer.
But the German soldiers had the amphetamine in their. Yeah, in there, whatever, in there.
Yeah.
Knapsacks.
Yeah, that well, right? That's really popular with soldiers. Amphetamines and steroids, too. Yeah. I mean, look, if you wanted to have some people out there killing for you, you want them hopped up on fucking crazy
asleep.
Pills
yeah.
and on roids.
Do you do
want.
Drugs?
No. I can't get them anymore. I mean, it shows you how things have changed. In the 70s or 80s, when I was very popular, and the students were much more open. Students said, "Oh, Peter, you know, try
give
some
me some
cocaine."
Weed? Oh, wow!
And this—that's the only cocaine I ever got from the student.
You got coke from students?
Yeah.
That's even
did
worse.
You,
than
you,
an
did
age
you ever?
Thing.
Did you ever do acid? Did you ever try acid?
No, acid I didn't. No. But
what about weed?
That I tried a couple. That didn't do much good for me.
Really?
I got
bad weed, son.
Yes. Yeah. But cocaine is liked, actually. And it,
cocaine's
hilarious.
A lot of fun. Cocaine's a lot of fun. Yeah.
I'm scared of that shit.
Well, it was lines, not injected. But yeah.
The way you just said that, too. No, it was,
so calm.
It was lines, not injected. Yeah. Anyway.
Like, who the fuck is injecting
it sounds coke? Authentic.
You just said that, so... Well, yeah. Who? I want to know how
it
you
sounded
party.
It sounded so German. It's like, it was lines, we didn't inject it.
Yeah, you party hard, dude.
But what it happened now? Let's see, I asked now. A student to get me some cocaine.
Get sued.
I think they would call the campus police. Yeah.
Yes, they would go
or
after
an uptight
you.
Bunch
and,
of
and say, finally we got this work with something.
What
out
happened?
Of the
yeah,
no,
yeah.
Now
are you still
not.
Teaching? In
yeah.
Oh, you did teach. Okay.
What happened?
But
what
it's
happened?
Very limited. No catch-it student came to me or they told him, they steered him away for 15 years. No grants. I'm surprised that I'm still existing.
You've paid a great price for your point of view.
Mike, I mean, I really sacrificed a lot of status. I told you I was one of the blue-eyed boys in the days. I was close to a Nobel for finding out the structure of the retrovirus, the genes of retrovirus. That was me, GAG, pollen, and the three genes, the nucleic acid,
wow.
The size of it.
Wow.
I analyzed that, the proteins of it.
Wow.
Yeah, impressive. So I was very popular, and I found an oncogene in one of them, and so on.
Why didn't you keep your mouth shut about
yeah,
this?
Yeah, see, that's...
Jesus.
That's
mean, crazy, though.
Yeah,
right?
I know it is. I'm just, I'm just being... I'm just
but
being
I had to follow orders. The Führer said, be on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, somehow, you have that feeling, we have done it before, following orders that just do what's politically correct.
But it was because you couldn't find the HIV virus that we couldn't actually isolate it? Is that what it was that,
I mean,
that caused you to...
No, it was very clear that under those conditions, that virus, neutralized by antibody, doing whatever it's supposed to do 10 years after infection, what does that mean? Mm. A virus turns the crank in 24 hours. If you get infected by flu or herpes or syphilis or mumps or anything at any party, well, if nothing happens in a week, every doctor will tell you you got away
free. Yeah, usually like even swine flu takes 3 to 7 days.
3 to 7. But here you're saying, okay, you had some wild party. 10 years later, you have diarrhea. It's an AIDS-defining disease. Mm. That's the virus?
Well, the
come
idea,
on.
Right? The idea is the virus incubates for a long period of time, like syphilis. Syphilis does. It shows...
Viruses don't... They have a very small, low IQ, extremely low.
But syphilis does manifest itself as sores, and then it comes back, it incubates, and then it attacks the brain and
everything,
right?
Guess why it comes back.
Why?
When they treated it with mercury. It's a iatrogenic, a doctor-induced disease. They give you mercury, and the standard of care was 1 gram of mercury, the equivalent of ACT, around the turn of the century, a day for a year. To cure your syphilis. Yeah, by that time, you're Meshuggener. Schumann walked,
yeah, you
in,
go crazy,
walked
yeah.
in the Rhine. Nietzsche got Meshuggener, and lots of people went...
Meshuggener is crazy, yeah. by the way. Yeah.
It's a Yiddish word, I think.
It's a great word.
It's sort of
Yiddish word for crazy.
Word.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's not even German. I don't, is it German or is it Yiddish?
Well, they were very close for a long time.
Yiddish and German are very similar.
Until the Führer came.
Meshuggener is a great word.
Until then, they did very well. I think very well together.
Yeah.
So anyway... That's the tertiary syphilis. It's gone. You don't hear a word about it anymore.
Well, because of penicillin, too. It's pretty effective.
Not penicillin. Penicillin was, syphilis was around for millions of years.
Yeah.
People didn't get tertiary syphilis surface. No venereal disease can really kill you, or else we wouldn't be around.
The 70s created super pussy, though. That's where things got out of hand.
No, syphilis, though, history. I mean, I've read a lot of history. Syphilis was a big player in.
Well, yes.
So was tuberculosis.
Yes, you weren't dying from it.
Yeah, they did.
Well, maybe when the doctor came in between and gave you mercury and arsenic, then sooner or later you were gone.
Never wear a condom, sir.
So what are you saying? They were sick and they went to the doctor and the doctor gave them something to kill them, but... If they didn't, they would have probably recovered? Is that what you're saying?
Of course.
So syphilis is something that you recover from?
Of course. I mean, syphilis is millions of years old. Millions. It's like a strep throat. It hurts a couple of weeks, and then you reject it. Your immune system rejects it.
What about chlamydia and gonorrhea? Same thing?
Well, I don't know so well about chlamydia. Mm. I think chlamydia for women can actually be sterilizing. Or whatever.
Yeah, it sterilizes,
But it's not killing you.
No, a lot of times your body fights off.
Yeah. Sooner or later, you fight them all off.
It's a dirty trick that you get diseases from sex. That is the dirtiest trick nature has played.
Well, microbes use everything they get, but they have not been all that successful. We're exploding.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
We keep we single out this little case. And
it's just what a dirty trick nature plays on you. Sit and wait in there.
Yeah. Actually, Joe, Japanese created meth, by the way.
Hmm? Kamikazes. Wow. Yeah. They used it.
You're right about that, Joe.
Kamikazes used it.
I still don't believe it. There, I said it.
Well, the Germans didn't create it. The Japanese created it, and they talked the kamikazes into it, but the Germans used it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, they were all working together. The Japanese...
they were allies in those days.
That whole fucking kamikaze thing is one of the nuttiest things that warfare has ever seen. Just dudes flying planes, methed out of their mind, into boats. Woo! It's hard for people to listen to this and not think that it's almost impossible to be true. Yeah. That there could be some sort of a gigantic scandal on this this larger level, and it's all just about pocketing money. How many of the people that are involved in it do you think are actually aware that there's no real connection between HIV and AIDS? Is there a percentage of the people?
They wouldn't say this radically. See, you grow up with this, as a scientist, with this virus, you're a virologist. It's hard to deny your own field. It's like the old Nazis. They still raise their arms. Not easy to burn it out and to change it.
Uh-huh.
Very few scientists are on record to question their own work, and particularly when it's such a big investment. The AIDS researchers, they are favored everywhere. They get all the money they want. They have investment papers. They have companies. They never had it so good. Never. Mm-hmm. They would be... And as long as they can, when you ask them, or I used to ask them, they always say, well, I'm not an expert on what gay lifestyle is. I'm not an expert on epidemiology. I don't know why this virus is so slow. My field is just look at the protein or look at this drug.
But very compartmentalized. Yeah. I noticed that.
That's an excuse often. They could easily do it, but they don't want to. They don't want to look on the side. They say, well, in my niche, I'm good. I'm accepted. I get married.
Are there social consequences to questioning it as a lifestyle?
Social? You better believe it. Most of my friends, Jay Levy is one of them in San Francisco, also a co-discoverer, Gallo. Montagny a tiny bit talks to me, but I'm not invited to meetings anymore. I have not gotten any NIH card, not one, in 20 years. That's usually the death of an experimental scientist. I got every grant I wanted for 20 years. I came in 64. For 20 years, I had every grant. I got the best deal they had, and it's called Outstanding Scientist Reward, which was 7 years unquestioned what I did. And I used it for that. I said, since I'm supposed to do risky work, I said, look at this with HIV. There's something wrong. We won't get anywhere. And I thought they would hug me and say, so you have done, you've really used it for the way. But the opposite was the case. Then I couldn't, this paper here, this is a rebirth of one that was published before, 2 years before.
AIDS, to me, it's so politically and socially charged as opposed to any other disease because of the fact that it so predominantly affects the gay community.
That's part of it, but not all. it's all for the, from the scientists. They were on the wrong track with viruses, and I was one of them. We tried cancer. That would have been a big thing if we had found viruses as a cause of cancer. We could have vaccinated, and indeed cancer would have been possibly under control or even eliminated. That failed. Now, here are all these luminaries, Bishop and Varmus and Baltimore, here down at Caltech, a few blocks down here. They had all Nobel Prizes for that already. Or Temin, with whom I debated in science, they had Nobel. Would they say, okay, my virus is not so important as I would like it to be? I finally had some, I didn't get clinical relevance with cancer, but now with AIDS, I finally am clinically, we have a virus that's really bad. And in reality, that's what they like. Now they are important. And now here are these 10,000 plus HIV AIDS researchers in these labs working for 20, 25 years on it. Have you ever heard with this most deadly virus, as the New York Times, it was the deadly virus, always the HIV.
But you're
deadly.
Leaving something out. Hold on,
no,
hold
wait,
on.
Like, let me put one more point. And it's
yes,
one,
please.
Very brief. They're working with it for 20 years. They have no vaccine because they couldn't make one. Yeah, we talked about that already. And not one of them ever came down with AIDS from this deadly virus. Neither Gallo, nor Fauci, nor Montagnier, nor Levy, none of them. They have it in Erlenmeyers and mass produce it for biochemical studies. To make a vaccine, you have to mass produce virus, and then you take the proteins out and vaccinate. And for the test, you have to make antibody against it. You need tons of virus. Not one, not a technician, not a collaborator of these 10,000 researchers that daily work with it have gotten a virus from the one that they call. Isn't that odd?
It's odd, but that could just be attributed to being very careful with a deadly virus.
Extremely
I've seen those
careful.
Dudes in those crazy outfits.
Extremely careful. We have about 1,000 doctors per year getting hepatitis infections from patients.
Do you think they're banging their patients?
No, well, that happens too.
Heck yeah.
You're leaving out something that's important, though. You're leaving out something important.
They don't get it from working in tons of virus.
Remember
that's
that.
That's very important.
That is very, very interesting, actually. But let me just say one thing that I think we're leaving out. Mm. A great deal of the momentum for AIDS research and the reason so much money is devoted to AIDS research was because there was such an epidemic in the 80s and 90s with gay men who were dying, and it brought gay people out of the closet. Mm. It organized gay people to say, listen, we're dying. Nobody cares about us. Unless we get into the streets, unless we really create a strong lobby for research for this disease, we're not going to be here anymore. Yeah. And if you talk to a lot of people, Michael Callum was one of the people who spearheaded this. They said, we have nothing to lose. We're dying.
Yeah, okay,
we're dying
Brian,
quickly.
He's actually addressed this already, though. He said that this is because of illicit drug use. I mean, he's bringing something that
a
is
lot
actually
of those people were not doing drugs.
Bringing that something that's actually a fact, the massive amount of drugs that were being used, and he's correlating it to the group of people that were using them who got sick. If you're saying a lot of people that got AIDS weren't,
to say that they were, yeah, that's what
he's saying.
I
mean, they were. So now we have a problem. But who's right?
Not everybody in the streets in the 80s and 90s who were fighting and organizing and putting all their time into this were doing drugs who were HIV positive.
No. Okay, you know? But he's saying even today that the people that are testing positive for drugs, they are junkies and drug – or testing positive for HIV are junkies and drug users primarily.
Unless you're
still.
Children.
In America,
what did you say? Children,
unless you're a child.
Unless you're a child,
got it from his mother through a blood.
Children can get it.
Or
from
hemophiliacs
junkie
who got it through a blood transfusion.
What about hemophiliacs that get it through blood transfusions?
Yeah, hemophiliacs. Where are the AIDS cases among hemophiliacs?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm just saying. Has that ever happened?
Yes.
Well, they had
from
a
what
few.
I've read.
They had a few, and particularly it went up tenfold after they gave him AZT. Okay. Then they got AIDS.
Well, that
but
makes
not
sense.
Before.
So they
their lifespan was increasing until 87, and then it topped.
So you're saying that in showing that they had the antibody, that their body was successfully fighting off of it, though. But even though they showed this antibody, that was an excuse to introduce AZT into the system to combat this thing that was creating this
and
antibody,
then they started dying.
And then the body dies.
Yeah.
But a lot of people were getting, a lot of hemophiliacs people were getting weird diseases, which is why they got tested in the first place. It wasn't like people were getting tests for HIV.
They get tested because of blood transfusions all the time.
But there were a lot of people that were that I knew that all of a sudden were getting. My buddy, he got a huge blue thing. He was rollerblading, and he was this big strapping guy who didn't do drugs. He just had gay sex. He did not do drugs. He was a personal trainer, and he. My buddy would stand there, and he got a huge blue thing, and all of a sudden, my acting teacher went, "That's you got to go check."
What about guys that don't do drugs and got AIDS? What happened there? Yeah, his story.
Where are they? That's the question.
Well, he's telling you about one.
Well,
my buddy died.
There may be some.
Did he get on medication then die?
No. You could.
He died before medication.
Yeah, and he died slowly, and he died without anything.
So there was no AZT, no nothing.
He tried AZT, it didn't work.
AZT is poison, dude.
Then it was.
But he's sick, and he tries AZT, and then he dies. That still sort of makes his case.
No, it doesn't.
Well, AZT is known to kill people. I mean, they stopped using it for a reason. AZT is a terrible drug.
Guy would be alive today if he had protease inhibitors because a lot of the people that I saw who were dying who stuck to
well, if you did that and not take AZT, maybe you're right.
Mm-hmm. AIDS was killing people who didn't. Look, listen, man. I'm sorry. I watched too many people die with my own eyes. Mm-hmm.
You keep saying that. But
you can't tell me that AZT is what caused people to die.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, are you completely confident in saying that you understand that person's lifestyle 100% and you know they weren't doing something that you might have known about?
I'm not completely confident about anything.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
but I do know that most people will tell you who lived through this and doctors who are involved in this will say, what got these guys sick was obviously something they caught through either gay sex, through intravenous drug use, and by the way, they died in a very similar way of things like wasting disease, pneumonia, Kaposi's sarcoma, terrible sores, all that stuff. They were dying that way. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm
saying.
Right,
but you see the issue in that? Like if someone goes and they find you when you're sick, and then they start treating you when you're sick... The issue with that is how many people are HIV positive or test for the antibody but have nothing wrong with them and then do no drugs, take no medication, and live healthy lives.
I don't know.
And then eventually get tested again and don't show the antibody. They don't show their bodies fighting it off. How often does that happen?
It does happen. There were in Kaposi, for example, there were 50 cases per year in the U.S. long before HIV came. And it went up to thousands in the AZT days, in the Popper case when the Poppers became
Poppers, meaning amyl nitrates.
Amyl nitrates and alkyl nitrates.
And that apparently is unbelievably devastating to the immune system.
It's mutagenic. It's
mutagenic.
Carcinogenic.
I think can I just be clear on what you're saying? Actually, you might also be saying that if you get the HIV virus, which you can catch. Now you have it in your system. If you're also doing things that are weakening your immune system, like poppers and things, that's going to compromise your immune system to the point where you're going to get all these where I suppose the HIV virus is going to create a situation where it'll further erode your immune system and you'll get these other diseases.
That is again something that would be very testable. But see, the CDC are not very straight or not very honorable about this. They never report pneumonias or Kaposi's sarcomas of HIV-free people as pneumonias and sarcomas. They have an AIDS statistic. When you're HIV positive, then they report these diseases in gay men or in junkies that are not antibody positive. Are not even in the same journals.
A lot of people
you never
hear
about it.
So it just automatically gets lumped into the AIDS deaths.
Yeah, that's what they do.
And that's a political decision?
Of course. The whole disease is a political. How can you have a common cause for dementia, weight loss, fever, pneumonia, Kaposi sarcoma, diarrhea, leukemia, and whatever, wasting disease? It's 27 altogether from one cause from one virus that doesn't do anything in the first place.
Lumping them all together is nothing but a money grab.
It's a mistake. Well, I mean, money, it's much more ego than money in scientists.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they want to be famous and they want to be in the history books, in the textbooks. They have discovered something. Gallo would sell his mother for a Nobel Prize. Yeah.
But a lot of people died. A lot of people died of AIDS. A lot of people died. AZT only came about after people were dying.
Right, AZT, but he's saying, right, of course, about, but the people that were dying were doing drugs. Mm. That's what he's saying. I don't know if you're right. I wish I knew. I wish I knew what, you know, how many people out there didn't do any drugs, lived a normal, healthy lifestyle, were gay, had sex with the wrong dude, boom, died of AIDS. Mm-hmm. That's what we had always heard. That was the story behind AIDS was never the drug use. Until I read Spin Magazine's article in 93, I had never even heard it brought up.
Yeah.
When I read that article about when you were talking about it, I was like, this is crazy. Because I had just taken my first HIV test. I had got health insurance, and I take my first HIV test, and I was fucking shit
me
in my
too.
Pants,
me.
Man.
I took a lot of them. I was
oh
so nervous.
My God, I was terrified. Yeah, I thought I was going to die of AIDS. No, I wasn't positive. No. How dare you, sir?
That's why I date porn stars. It's, you
I've
don't
never
have
done
to
any. Yeah, I've never done any. Yeah, you date.
But they do talk about high risk, low risk behavior, and you can get the HIV virus from high risk behavior, right? Versus low risk behavior.
Well,
how do you catch the AIDS virus?
It's very difficult.
But how would you catch it?
Well, there's no, you're saying it doesn't exist. There's no AIDS virus.
Yeah. Oh.
So how do you say, how do you catch something? How do you catch Santa
Claus?
Oh, so
you don't believe there is something called the HIV virus?
Yeah, no, you said the AIDS virus.
It does exist.
Yeah, the virus exists.
Yeah, but not the AIDS virus.
No,
but
it AIDS is not a virus. AIDS
right.
is what
Isn't that what you just said?
No, I'm sorry. HIV causes your immune system.
Did I hear him say AIDS
virus?
Yeah,
he said that.
You said AIDS virus.
Yeah, I did. I meant is HIV, which can be construed as the AIDS virus because AIDS just means acquired immunity deficiency syndrome. In other words, when you can be HIV positive, you don't have full blown AIDS until you've got all kinds of stuff going on with
you.
Yeah,
obviously.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so the HIV virus, how do, since we can test for the antibodies, and by the way, a lot of people who test for the antibodies are what we were talking about, intravenous drug users, gay men, and then, of course, in Africa, it's a heterosexual disease. Why, how does that happen? How do they get that virus, and why don't most straight men?
There's little known about it, but, I mean, the best way to transmit it is actually transfusions. Mm. It's very difficult. It takes, on average, from the literature, hemophiliacs, for example, couples with and without, on the average 1,000 unprotected contacts to convert a positive to a negative.
Wow.
1,000.
Wow.
That cannot be a normal way of replication.
I have to say, this is a very eye-opening discussion. Yeah. I mean, I have to say that you've been taught one thing for 25 years, as we have, and then you come along, you're raising questions that are very interesting.
We're too stupid to answer those questions, so this is the problem. I wouldn't say uninformed.
That's the word I'm saying, to recognize that. The
fact that this is such a touchy subject, we're going to have to try to find some scientists willing to do this. But meanwhile, we have to make sure we don't get trolled and some fucking crazy Death Squad fan sneaks his way in as a fake scientist.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't
and
you
Professor
try it,
you
fucks. Plum. Yeah, we're going to have to probably reach out.
You can look
out.
People up and you can...
Yeah, we're probably going to have to try to reach out and contact someone and figure out what the hell...
What about a doctor of love?
I don't think that's the same.
What about Dr. Drew?
I tried Dr. Drew, man. I brought this up to Dr. Drew about 8 years ago. I've been following your work for a long time, and I brought it up to Dr. Drew a long time ago, the last time I was on Loveline. I don't even know how long ago that was.
That name's
but
familiar.
He dismissed it immediately without even considering it, and then looked at your website for about 5 minutes and said something was wrong there. And then, but I suspect he might be full of shit because he's full of shit about marijuana. He's always talking about marijuana being unbelievably addictive and the addictive syndromes we find connected to marijuana. That's just not true. The people that show any addiction to marijuana, either they're unusual cases, extremely unusual, or it's a psychological addiction, much like gambling or masturbating or anything. So for him to, as a doctor, to spout that,
most doctors study, they're very orthodox. The medical establishment.
And by the way, I like Dr. Drew. He's a great guy. Don't get me wrong. I just think you know, people get an idea in their head and they rock with it. And his idea is that sobriety is the only way to go.
But as a doctor and as a surgeon, when you start talking about nutrition to your colleagues, and
they don't know
the
what the fuck they're talking about.
It's taboo. It's the orthodoxy is, correct me if I'm wrong, is forced on you in the medical establishment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, not only that, the amount of nutrition information that they're given during medical school is so minimal and constantly changing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's constant studies that are going on. I was remember, you know, when people have a certain amount of knowledge in their field and they don't keep up and the time goes by 10, 20 years, like you might as well be the average person on the street. Like you know shit from 20 years ago. Things have changed radically
like
in 20 years.
It's like jiu-jitsu in a way, right?
In a way. It is. If you look at like the UFC in 93, you know, and look at what people knew then and then look at what people know today.
Night and day. You can't even watch that now. It's like,
I love watching it just because it's so nostalgic, but it's an unbelievable example of how things have gotten super, super complicated super, super quickly. Dr. Duesberg, did you know that Colorado and Washington State made marijuana legal?
That's about time.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
They stepped up yesterday. Yeah. Oregon fucked up, though. Mm-hmm. Oregon, so sad for you. Portland, how dare you? Dare you let that happen? Because Oregon's filled with a lot of white gangsters.
There's a lot
of Chael Sonnen-type dudes out there.
Oh, boy. So they were like...
They're not down with these fucking hippies. Get to work! Go to work, hippie! I'm just kidding. But Oregon didn't pass it, but Colorado did.
Medical marijuana is legal, I guess, huh? Okay.
Medical marijuana passed in Massachusetts.
Yeah, but what is the federal government going to do? They can still come out and shut it down.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, they're not going to shut down the medical marijuana programs. The DEA might occasionally bust people, encourage people to not do it, threaten landlords and stuff like that. But it's really just essentially to keep their business open. What the DEA's been down to doing is they raid these medical marijuana dispensaries, they take all their weed, they take all their cash, they say they're going to process the information, and then they never do anything. Mm-hmm. So they basically just go in and gank everybody. They gank the cash. They go in with strapped with machine guns and DEA jackets. They step on people's necks. I mean, it's fucked up. It's a jacking. They go in there, they take all the weed, they take all the money, and they can... By federal law, they can prosecute, but yet they just sort of hold that case up, and they don't do anything about it. And occasionally people get prosecuted when they find out that they're doing something like... There's a lot of dudes who got into the weed business that used to be in the illegal business, you know, and so they're doing shit shady, and guys get busted, you know, selling mass quantities.
Not paying taxes on it.
But the real problem is you got a bunch of guys in the DEA that would probably like to go bust scumbags and probably like to actually, you know, make a dent in their community, and they're in a situation where something is law. And here's the law. The law is they're doing something wrong.
They have to go do it.
They have to do something. Yeah, it's like until you change the law, you have law enforcement officers. They're going to be wanting to enforce the law, period. Sure. It's a simple written thing. It's written down. Most laws are stupid as fuck, but we agree on them.
It's like
we agree on them, and that's their job to enforce that shit.
Cops hate busting prostitution things.
Sure they do. They hate fucking having to give people speeding tickets, too.
Yeah.
Sit there with a laser gun. That's not what they signed up to be a cop for, but it's part of the job. What we have to do is make it so that it's not part of the fucking job and give them, you know, it's like the difference between going to a medical marijuana dispensary and stepping on some kid's neck who's a college student who just got in because he was high and took the job. And going to a meth lab is a very different experience.
Sure, sure.
You know, you drive out into the middle of fucking Palmdale and you see a warehouse with smoke coming out of it and you all storm the building from, you know, you might go into a bomb, man. You might go into, somebody might drop something.
Biker gangs.
The whole place.
Bristling with weapons.
Machine guns, methed out of their head, making shitty decisions, being up for a week.
Oh,
yeah, it's dangerous as fuck. Whereas they can go to a medical marijuana dispensary and just walk in and, you know, go take everybody's money and take everybody's weed. And scare the shit out of them. It's not the DEA's fault. The DEA are a bunch of guys that are fucking DEA agents, which if you're going to have like a regular society, you got to recognize what's dangerous. And I mean, not a regular society, but a healthy society. You got to realize what's actually dangerous and what's not. I'm not saying things should be illegal. I'm not saying you should go to jail for doing anything. But I'm saying there should be certain consequences for knowingly and willfully pushing addictive and dangerous drugs on people, like meth. There should be a social consequence for it. And that's where something like the DEA should come into play.
Sure.
To restrict shit like that. To restrict, when you get that shit into communities, it poisons people. It infects just like a disease.
Yeah.
There should be massive amounts of resources spent trying to stop that from happening. I don't know exactly how you should do it, but having a DEA is not a bad thing.
Right.
Having an agency, just like we were talking about the fish and game, they regulate the wildlife population.
They do a good job.
And they do a great job.
Yeah.
Their there could be a way of regulating the effect of dangerous substances on the American population. Because right now they're dealing with this whole bath salt issue, man, which is a real problem because they're just taking a drug. You got to go to the bathroom, sir?
No, I just want to get this. I have this.
You wanted to what? Going to get an article? The bath salts thing is they're taking drugs and they just change one molecule and they can say not for human consumption and sell it over the counter everywhere. That's not illegal. They can't even do anything about that. So they have to pass drugs for those and then they just keep changing what the drug is. Instead of calling it bath salt, call it fucking garage sand. Call it whatever the fuck you want. As long as you say it's not for human consumption. You know, lawn fertilizer decoration. Make some shit up. You can sell it all day long. And people figure out that it's there for you to smoke and get high, and it's just like a meth with something changed on it.
Sure.
So having a DEA is not a bad idea. Having drugs like marijuana be illegal
DEA is
the bad idea.
That's a bad idea.
Fucking government is the problem. Is there's too many people, and trying to manage 300 million people is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And trying to manage it by having government nanny groups that stop you from doing a bunch of shit that doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Well, now you're just going to ruin the listening to you about anything.
Right.
Because I don't want to listen to you about that.
Yeah.
You know, the marijuana argument is one of the main reasons why people have a distrust of cops. It's not about crime stopping or anything else. It's like the idea that I could be doing something that I love doing and I got to look out for cops. Because if I get busted doing something I love doing that hurts no one, I might wind up spending the night in a cage somewhere with a bunch of criminals.
Yeah, you can get fall down drunk in a bar, and that's somehow legal.
Exactly. You can throw up into a garbage barrel, like many of us have done.
Yeah.
You know,
break
you,
a bunch
you,
of
you literally
panes,
poison
and
your body.
And people applaud it. Dude, I got so fucked up last
Dude,
night.
I threw up in the cab.
Hilarious.
I threw up in the hotel
people
room.
People clap for you.
It's so bad for you. It's so stupid. And it's everywhere. And nobody's complaining. And there's all these stupid people working so hard to keep marijuana illegal. What we need to do is find jobs for those fucking people. That's what we need to do. We need to have a compassionate way of looking at drug legalization. And one of the ways is looking at the people that are making a living from drug illegalizing, from drugs being illegal, and go after those people with positivity and figure out a way to where they can make a better living.
Mm-hmm.
Like, transfer the people in the DEA that are responsible for going after marijuana and find fucking better use for them.
Yeah.
Actually put them in some sort of a positive function in the community instead of being monetary vampires. That's what they're doing. They're jumping it and stealing money and then sucking it into their system and nobody can ever get it back. And there's no case. Nothing ever happens.
Mm.
It's nonsense. That's just like a gang stealing your stash. That's all that is.
And that it does affect a government's credibility.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
It does when it's marijuana because you can't act like it's 1950 anymore. It's 2012. Everybody can get on their phone and they can Google something in 5 minutes and read all the, well, it might, you know, it might call it schizophrenia. And who? Who's taking it and going schizophrenic?
Yeah, yeah.
There might be a schizophrenic guy who also smoked weed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, what are you doing? Are you giving 10 people fake weed and 10
right.
people real weed?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Even with all the pressure to make marijuana, you know, to make it a dangerous substance, they still can't find shit.
Right.
Yeah. But yet it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
This is an embarrassment as a human race.
I think that the elections are showing that, right? It's,
yeah.
I mean,
in two fucking states out of 50.
Yeah.
And one, it failed. Three, it was on the ballot.
The momentum
one of it
is moving forward in that direction.
It is. It has to be.
It's hard to justify. Like I always say, I'm not even a big weed smoker. It's just hard to justify how you make
alcoholic alcohol illegal. Big weed smoker.
I'm a big weed.
You're a big.
I like the
weed.
You get me.
That's the
stuff.
Real weed.
Oh,
that's the problem. Also, is that people are getting uneducated views on weed. People think potheads are lazy. It was because there's two different kinds of effects. There's the indica effect, which is this like sleepy, couchy effect.
I don't like that.
That I don't like that. I go with the sativa. Look, if it was only indica weed, I would still smoke it every now and then when you wanted to chill, have a nice meal, hang out with my lady, you know what I mean? Ooh, my lady. I said it like a black man.
My lady.
So I did it with no irony whatsoever. Hang out with
my
lady, my special lady, you know what I'm saying? But I much prefer sativas. Sativas are, you know, what you have before you have an interesting conversation. Or
I have energy on that stuff.
Yeah, it's a different effect, and it's not a lazy effect.
Yeah.
And the reason why people don't know is because we're in a terrible situation where we have a bunch of uneducated or uninformed people that are dictating policy. They're looking at things in the wrong way. These things are tools. All these things are tools. They're there to help us. weed is there to help us. They just finally figured that out in two states, Colorado, which has always been ahead of the curve, and Washington State, which is Seattle. I did the Moore Theater this weekend.
You and I need to seriously think about where we're going to move for at least part of the year.
Colorado, man. Why fuck around? Your wife has family from there. I used to live there. I'll move back to Colorado in a heartbeat.
I'll do it in a heartbeat.
When the shit hits the fan, Red Band's ready. You ready to move to Colorado?
Yeah.
He's ready. Let's do it. He's ready. Dr. Duesberg, would you be our scientific advisor in Colorado post-apocalypse? Because when the shit
hits
the
fan, you gotta have a scientist on the staff.
Some cocaine, smoke some weed.
Yeah, Dr. Duesberg would be in his underwear, fucking shooting guns off the roof.
Yeah, baby, the crazy German.
With my
listen, das ist guten.
There's, you know, it's very unfortunate. Your story is a fascinating one, and you know, Brian and I have really struggled with this. We've had this conversation without you here many times, and you know, neither one of us is really qualified to have it. Yeah. So to have you here and to talk about this crazy subject, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that are responding to this in a bunch of very different ways.
Are they listening now?
Yeah, oh yeah. There's people listening now,
but they wouldn't call.
No, we don't want them to call.
Yeah,
it's too crazy. They get crazy and just yell out Olive Garden butthole and hang up.
So when would they react?
Well, there's for sure a lot of Twitter people will react. On
Are
Facebook.
You on Twitter?
Are you on Twitter at all?
I sometimes look at it.
Yeah. You do? You have an account? What is it?
I don't think I have.
You don't? Oh, you just read people's. So. We need to start you a Twitter account. Are you down with that?
Fine.
Brian, see if you can find him a Twitter name.
There you go.
What's your website?
Duesberg, Duesberg.org, right?
.com.
.com.
Yeah.
.com. Did you used to be .org?
There's one org for the academy here.
And if people want to read more about this, is that the best resource?
Duesberg on AIDS.
Duesberg on AIDS, the book?
Yeah. No, it's a website.
Oh, it's a website. Yeah, Duesberg on AIDS.com?
Yeah.
Is there a book that you've written about any of this?
Yeah, Inventing the AIDS Virus. Oh, I wanted to bring you a copy. Jeez. I'll send you one.
Okay. Inventing the AIDS Virus. Yeah. And is that available on Amazon.com?
Amazon,
and
you can get it.
All
you can
that.
Get it for me. I sign it for you.
You know, you're a very brave man. I don't know if you're right. It sounds like you are, but I'm too stupid. And if we had a guy here who was equally bright who opposed you, I would be baffled and stuck in the middle.
Yeah, we'd both be like, whoa.
Yeah, I don't, you know, but it's what you've done in this belief in that you're right is a very brave thing. And it's an interesting story. And I've never really quite understood the whole academic process and what's involved. I've only looked at it from the outside. So to hear you describing what it's been like trying to make an argument for this and being treated in what seems to be an unscientific way. It seems to be a biased and really in a way that's actually damaging to the distribution of information. Because there should be, if you are a respected scientist, which you are, there should be some concerted effort to prove you wrong. There should be some, like, it seems like you've made enough waves with your book, you're in a prestigious enough position at the University of California, Berkeley, that you should be considered and at least refuted by the people that continue. Instead of doing that, they've decided to ignore you completely.
Yeah, or do these underhanded things.
Like
a misconduct investigation, which is pretty heavy stuff.
When did they do that?
That was 1.5 years ago.
Wait till they hear about the cocaine. You're doing coke with students.
There goes that.
I think that's...
The Joe Rogan podcast will sink.
We're going to sink your ship, son.
It's the statute of limitation should be expired now.
Yeah, those were hippies, man.
In the good old days.
In the good old days. Baby.
It was back when it wasn't even illegal.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Was there a time... Do you remember the time when cocaine wasn't illegal?
Was
do you remember that? When was that? Was that the 70s?
No, it was illegal.
Coke was?
It was in the... Before, I think in the 40s or 30s, 20s. In the first part of the last century, it was legal.
Yeah, because you took a Coca-Cola, in fact. Didn't you?
It was in Coca-Cola.
Yeah, you get a buzz off Coke.
Yeah, that was the old days.
It was in cocaine, in codeine, which is syrup that Bayer made against cough.
Yeah.
It was made illegal in 1907. Hmm. Damn, they figured out coke is bad for you in 1907.
Yeah, you take it once, and you're like, oh, this can't be good.
Yeah, they were like, this is going to ruin the world.
Because you don't do anything on coke. You just sit in your room.
Is that in the U.S.?
Yeah, the U.S. government, the first effort from the U.S. government to control cocaine was the inclusion of the Pure Food and Drug Act, effective January 1st, 1907, which required the labeling of products to disclose the contents, including alcohol, morphine, opium, cocaine, heroin, alpha or beta. So what it was essentially is saying that, oh, cannabis, a bunch of different things, but there was no labeling back then.
Right.
So that was the first effort. So it wasn't necessarily that they were making it illegal, but that they let you know. So the Comprehensive Drug Abuse Prevention and Control Act passed, and in 1970, that's when cocaine had...
G70 only.
Yeah. That's... They regulated and taxed opium and heroin in 1915, but it wasn't until 1970. So that what you're saying is true, that the after the post-Vietnam War, those people from that era forth, that's when the real drug problem started.
That's popularized it in America.
And in 1970, yeah. that's when they cracked down on all the psychedelics. Yeah. That's when mushrooms and acid and everything else became legal, which is incredible. Can you think that all those years before that, even though marijuana has been illegal since the 30s, yeah. Acid and mushrooms and all that shit, they were legal until 1970.
Crazy, man. Crazy.
No wonder why the music was so good.
Oh, man.
No wonder.
Acid and weed.
No wonder the Beatles were in
the
tune, man.
Yeah, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart.
Dude, they were in tune. You can't make The Doors without
drugs.
What
was it, the White Album? That was a crazy album, man.
Door songs like, Father, I'm going to kill you. You're not going to make that. Yeah.
He also ensures you die at 27.
Break
Janis Joplin,
the other side.
Every one of them.
Oh yeah, they fucked up.
Hendrix, Joplin, Jim Morrison.
Certainly not good for you.
Even
but neither
Kurt
is
Cobain.
AIDS. They died of AIDS essentially. If today they they threw up.
Wait a minute.
Freddie Mercury.
I have got to
jump. Get the fuck out of
right
here, son.
Now, but,
listen, this podcast is over, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Duesberg, thank you very much, sir. It's been a pleasure having you on.
You ending it now?
Fascinating and enlightening, and you opened a lot of people's eyes and confused the shit out of a lot of others. So I'm sure I'm hoping that we're gonna get some response from a legitimate scientist who's willing to sit down next to a zombie puppet. And a mannequin with big tits, and we'll try to put this together and bring you back, and hopefully we can shed some light on this. This is very, very, very fascinating. Thank you very much. Thank you, my friend Brian Callen.
You got it, man. Come see me in Philly.
Thanks, Brian.
Come see me in Philadelphia. He won't talk to you about AIDS. He will only say funny shit. Thank you, sir.
I'll be at Helium this
Dr.
Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, Helium in Philly, and Brian and crew, including Tom Segura and Tony Hinchcliffe. Doug Benson, that's right. And you'll be, where will the dates?
Dayton tomorrow, Cincinnati Friday, Columbus, Ohio Saturday. All the tickets are at deathsquad.tv. Use the coupon code Red Cross and Savers. Get 2-for-1 tickets, and also 10% of the proceeds go to hurricane relief in Wisconsin.
What more do you need, you dirty freaks? And this weekend, San Diego, Balboa Theater, Saturday night, me and Joey Cook. Coco Diaz, a.k.a. Mad Flavor, a.k.a. Planet Rock. We're going to have a good time, San Diego. And if the fucking apocalypse hits, we're moments from Mexico. So let's do this. Thank you to Onnit.com. Use the code name Rogan and save yourself 10% off any and all supplements. And we'll see you fucking freaks next week. We've got a lot of fun next week lined up. And most likely we'll be in a new studio.
Where do you live?
Close by?
Santa Monica.